I brought some of my bookmarks. I think I brought them last time. I've got thousands of them at home. If you take some, and I would appreciate it, drop it in a happy birthday card the next time you send it to your grandchildren, or use it as a conversation starter when you speak to one of your neighbors. And, of course, it's about the Bible, the book. It's a treasure. It's a pleasure. It's a trust. It's a must. It's a lamp. It's a light. It's what's right. It's what's just. It is true. It is tried. It's God's word. It is power. It is water. It is wisdom. Every minute, every hour. It is living. It is quick. It is healing for the sick. It's eternal. It's a seed. It's exactly what I need, God's word. And so we brought it this morning because that's what we need, God's word. Would you open with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Many, many years ago, some seminarians in England were burning the midnight oil, so to speak, having deep conversations about theology. And they were discussing what makes Christianity different than all the other religions of the world. And they really couldn't come to some agreement. Those of you that know anything about world religion and ancient religions understand that there are a lot of commonalities even between Christianity and Greek religion and Roman religious beliefs, etc. Groups claim to have the scriptures, claim to have God's word. Some claim to believe in an incarnation. Some believe in resurrection. Some believe that their religious leader died. Then they were discussing this. And C.S. Lewis walked in and they asked him, "What do you think makes Christianity different from all the religions of the world?" He said, "Oh, that's easy. Grace." And it was like a light went on. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Let's pray. Father, bless these moments as we consider thy precious word. May it minister grace to every hearer. If there's someone here without Christ, I pray that they might see their need and see that need supplied through Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, who died on the cross to pay for our sins. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, if any man, that's the genealogy of grace, be in Christ, that's the geography of grace, he is a new creation, that's the genesis of grace. Old things are passed away, that's the goodness of grace. Behold, all things are become new. That's the generosity of grace. If any man, that's the genealogy of grace. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob begot Judah and his brethren. Judah begot Perez and Zerah of Tamar, Perez begot Hezron, Hezron begot Ram, Ram begot Amminadab, Amminadab begot Nahshon, Nahshon begot Salmon, Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab, Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David the king. David begot Solomon of Sheba, and the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon. Ammon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brethren. Jeconiah begot Shealtiel. Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiah. Abiah begot Eliakim. Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Achim. Achim begot Eliad. Eliad begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Mathan. Mathan begot Jacob. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. What's that? That's a genealogy of grace. If anyone ever gets to heaven, if anyone is ever a part of the family of God, if anyone's name is ever listed in the book of life, it's only by grace. All of those that are listed in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 1 were sinners. A sinner begets a sinner who begets another sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in the foreknowledge and the plan and purposes of God Almighty, He made a way. And Jesus Christ steps into the stream of human history to be our Redeemer and our Savior because there was no other way. Joseph married well. And Mary gave birth to the Son of God, and He died on a cross to save us from our sins. And when we meet in heaven and greet one another, we'll be there because of God's amazing grace, and we'll sit down for all eternity and tell the story of how we discovered it. Nobody's situation is hopeless. Every single person who can still breathe and still hear is a candidate for God's salvation because it is not of works which we have done, but what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary's cross and God's amazing grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A child can come. The greatest sinner can come. The rich, the poor, the white, the black, all can come because of grace. One by one, throughout the gospel accounts of Christ's ministry, we witness the Lord of glory encountering sinners and transforming their lives. And one by one, each could arise to their feet and give testimony in a testimony meeting that it's all because of grace. The Gadarian demoniac who was naked and cutting himself with stones and living among the graveyard tombstones one day had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ, and his life was changed forever. And he would rise and be the very first to tell you that it was nothing he did, but it's what God has done. When Christ was finished with him there in that graveyard, the Bible says that he was seated and he was clothed and he was in his right mind. And the truth of the matter is, everyone who is a sinner is insane. Sin is against our best interests. Sin is a war against God Almighty, the Creator. And how crazy is that? God, who is the God of creation and of eternity, made us on purpose for a purpose, and sin is against that purpose. And that is madness. And the church is filled down through the ages with thousands of one-time Gadarian demoniacs that came to their senses. And he was so excited he wanted to join the apostles and jump into the boat and go where Jesus went. And Jesus said, no, go home and tell them what great things God has done for you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, he would sing, that saved a wretch like me. The woman of Sychar, the woman at the well, had no idea what would happen that day, which seemed to be like any other day. And Jesus must needs go through Samaria. And there was a divine appointment, and he spoke to her, and she was shocked. And by the time he was finished, she ran, leaving her water pot by the well, and spoke to those in the city, said, come see a man who told me all things whatsoever I have done. Is not this the Christ? She'll stand up in glory one day and testify to the fact that it's all because of grace. How can a Samaritan find her way into the family of God? The same way I did, and the same way you did, and the same way everyone needs to come. Blind Bartimaeus, sitting by the wayside begging, helpless to take charge of his own affairs and own life, except for a beggar's bowl or a tin cup. Broken down on the side of the road. And he hears a commotion and he learns that Jesus is coming by. And he must have heard of the miracle powers of the Lord Jesus, for he suddenly became excited and started calling out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Those that surrounded him tried to make him be quiet, but he called out all the louder. Have mercy on me. Nothing like someone crying out for mercy to stop God in his tracks. Jesus stopped. He asked him what he wanted. He said, oh, that I might see. One day in glory, you'll see him and I'll see him as well. Once blind Bartimaeus. And we'll know how he got there. Same way we did. Bible says if any man or if any woman be in Christ. That's a genealogy of grace. One day Jesus was going through Jericho, and there sitting up in the sycamore tree was Zacchaeus, a tax collector, the most hated individual in all the city. Jesus stopped and looked up at him. His life was changed and transformed. He saw him and cared for him and loved him and invited him to come down. Well, I don't know if God found you in a sycamore tree out on some limb or by the well in a small place like Sychar or on a Damascus road. But the only way to get into heaven is by God's amazing grace. For by grace are you saved, and not of works. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, whosoever, and that includes me. John chapter 6 and verse 37 says, whoever comes unto him, he will in no wise cast out. It's grace. And I know that we like merit system when it comes to a job application. I understand that there are certain things and requirements that we must have in order to get into the company or to get into the country. I'm not talking about that. I am so glad. Heaven is not based on my merit. It's not based on your merit. It's based on what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. We're saved by grace. Whether you're a woman who's got a broken heart, like the woman at Sychar who had five husbands, either they all died and there were five graves or five men said, I've had enough, and they walked away. I don't know, but you had a broken heart. Or whether you're an Ethiopian eunuch in a chariot somewhere, or leaning over the scriptures trying to figure out what's the purpose of life and why am I here. God knows where you are, He knows who you are, He knows what you are, and He loves you so much that He sent His Son to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm so glad for the day He stepped into my life. And I know most of you can say the same because you remember it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Grace. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the water, and he that hath no money, come ye. Especially those that don't have any money. Because it's grace. If any man, that's the genealogy of grace, be in Christ, that's the geography of grace. Grace has a longitude and a latitude, and it's in a person, it's in Jesus Christ. Noah built his ark. Didn't look like much, if you read the account, like a big coffin. And it was covered with pitch, just tar. Only eight people walked up that gangplank, but there was room for whoever would come. Those who were in the ark were saved. Those who were not in the ark were not saved. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. That's the geography of grace, where the God of the universe, who set the stars in space and put every planet in place, came to walk where you walk and live where you live, and came into this world in order to save us. That's a geography of grace. You couldn't go to Him. He came to us. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, you can search all you want for the ark. You may find it, but there's no salvation in it. Today, the only salvation is in Jesus Christ, to be in Him. When the Titanic was finally going down, and when people finally realized that it was true, because they had heard on the highest authority that it was unsinkable, and they spent a fortune on those first-class tickets. When they finally realized that it was going down, they had to get into the lifeboat. Those who got into a lifeboat lived to tell about it. Those who didn't sunk to the bottom of the North Atlantic Ocean. I can't say it any simpler, get in the boat. Jesus is calling. If any man be in Christ, God warned Pharaoh, not once, but 10 times. Let my people go. Again and again and again, and Pharaoh just said no, 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 and hardened his heart. And finally God said, enough's enough. And would take a whole nation out of captivity and out of Egypt. And on that Passover night, those that were in the house, with the blood applied to the door, the lintel and the doorpost, were spared. Everybody else died. And perhaps the children wanted to run in Goshen and play out in the street, and mother and father said, no, no, come inside, come inside. It was the Passover. The Bible said when he saw the blood, he passed over them. 2,000 years ago, the Lamb of God died on a cross for me and for you. And when that blood is applied by faith to our hearts, you can count on God's word being true. Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That's the genesis of grace. A new creation, a new genesis. I don't have to tell you that something's messed up. We read about it in the newspapers. We shake our heads and we say, that's not right. True. Nobody's right. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as we shake our heads, as we read in the newspaper what this person did or what that person did, we need to go look in the mirror and shake our heads as well and say, like the prodigal son, I have sinned. And because of that, you and I need a new start and a new heart and a new direction and a new connection and a new goal and a new role and a new course and a new force and a new source. Born again. Grace affords us the opportunity to be born again. All of us, even the fastest, stumble out of the starting gate. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the sooner we admit that, we put our finger on the problem, the sooner we admit it, the great physician can make a prescription and point us to the solution of his sacrifice for us on Calvary. Until we call it what it is, the doctor can't do much for us. And so we go and we take tests after tests and battery of tests, and finally the doctor comes in and says, I think we have an answer. You have this. And almost takes your breath away. And then he says, but this is what we're going to do. Before that, you didn't know. You just didn't feel well. But when he gave it a name, he also had an answer. When we give sin the name sin, don't leave without the solution and the answer. Because God doesn't just want to convict us. He wants to cleanse us. He wants us to have a new creation, to be able to start all over again. Is anybody here like that, that really messed up? Oh, I have good news for you. God wants you to know his grace and have an opportunity to start over again with him as the Lord, leader, and light of your life. A little boy was writing in his first class a story. He had to put his name on a paper and write what he did this summer. And as he started to write, he misspelled his own name. not a good way to start. And so he erased it, tried to erase it, and as he erased it, it just made a smudge. It was greasy, and it was worse. He got nervous, and he rubbed harder and harder, and he made a hole in the paper. And the teacher came down the aisle, and he held up his paper, and he saw her through the hole, thinking that he was in big trouble. And she said, "Johnny, here's a new piece of paper. Let's start again. God loves you more. You've made a mess. You've tried. The more you rubbed, the worse it got. Jesus Christ came in order to give you another chance. It's called the genesis of grace. If any man, genealogy of grace, be in Christ, that's a geography of grace. He's a new creation, that's a genesis of grace. Old things are passed away, that's the goodness of grace. Oh, how wonderful it is that God takes our sin and separates them from us farther than the east is from the west and buries them in the sea of his forgetfulness. That's the goodness of God's grace. All of your sins, all of my sins, put away to be remembered no more." What about your sin? There's only one solution, and that's at Calvary. We have a garbage problem, and all the countries of the world are discovering that people don't want our garbage. I'm insulted. So these ships are being sent back. They said, "No, we don't want your garbage. A lot of people, after they send, they forget all about it. But let me tell you, that garbage barge is coming back. unless you do something with it, it's coming back. There's only one solution, and that's Jesus. And that's the goodness of grace. Because God loves you, and God loves me. But it gets better. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. That's the generosity of grace. Not only does God come into our life, not only does God take up habitation in our heart and heal us. When God moves in, he brings his stuff. And I say that reverently. Oh, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, temperance. He brings it all. He brings everything. The fruit of the Spirit and the power of his presence. That's the generosity of God's grace. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. I can't convince you of that. I pray the Holy Spirit convinces you first that you're a sinner. We all are sinners. And God has a remedy, only one. His Son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross. If any man, that's the genealogy of grace, be in Christ, that's the geography of grace. He's a new creation, that's the genesis of grace. Old things are passed away, that's the goodness of grace. Behold, all things are become new, that's the generosity of grace. If you look at that text, at least in the King James, it says, therefore. That's the genius of grace. That's what grace is there for. To save you. That's, if you look up the meaning of therefore, it means the ground of. It means the causing a consequence. And what's the ground of my salvation? God's grace and his word, which he has given me. that whoever comes unto him, he will in no wise cast out. And you can believe him. Why? Because he's the truth. And you can believe the truth. Now, people try to kill the truth, but the truth always rises again. And the third day, Jesus rose again, just like he said. Why? Because he's the truth, and he said he would rise again on the third day. But there's something else in all of this, and that's the gravity of grace. Take a look at it. It says, if. You see, grace is a gift. And unless you receive it, you never enjoy, benefit, experience what the gift is. If. It's an unopened Christmas present still underneath the Christmas tree, waiting for you to receive it. But if you don't receive it before you breathe your last breath, you go out into eternity without that grace. And so I would just say to you, do you remember when you received that? Now, if Grandma was going to send you a package on your birthday, and you were so excited that you looked out the window for that postal truck or the UPS every time you heard a noise, you remember that you received it. As a matter of fact, the UPS man might have said, here, please sign for this. Some 50 years ago, I knelt by an army bunk bed and I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and realized that it was by His grace, not by my works. No one is good enough. And as I pondered that, as I went through my years of seeking to follow Jesus and obey Him, He helped me to remember something that happened to me when I was just a little tyke, almost 70 years ago. I was walking with my father in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, surrounded by a cacophony of sound and industrial chaos. Trolley cars, buses, trucks, horse and wagons, millions that looked like people. And we were rushing down the street to catch a bus. And my father was a man's man, and his hand felt like steel, it felt like iron. And he was not a soft, touchy-feely person. That's one of the few times I remember ever holding my father's hand. It just sticks in my mind. And although I was surrounded by all this noise and chaos and strangers, I had a peace in my heart because I was holding my father's hand. As a matter of fact, if keeping up with him, I would trip on a crack on a sidewalk, not to worry. He would lift me up and I'd be in the air and he'd put me back down and we'd keep on going. Because I was in my Father's hand. You see, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That if question is solved and answered by this thing called faith. And as I remember walking with my father those many years ago, it's a perfect illustration of that. Faith is the little hand that in trust reaches up. Doesn't matter how little it is. Grace is the big hand that reaches down. Now, I and my father were having a symphony of hand-holding that nobody else knew about because they couldn't feel what we felt. Sometimes I would hold on real tight, and sometimes I would relax, and he would hold. It and back and forth. And that's what trusting Christ is all about. Jesus said, except you come as a little child, shall no wise enter into the kingdom. And so faith is like a little child reaching up and trusting God's word and placing the little hand in the big hand and walking together through life on the way to the Father's house. Now, both are involved, but be assured that it's the big hand that makes sure you get home. If you're here this morning and you've never come to the place in your life where you realize that it's not you, but it's Him in you, I invite you to open up your heart and let the Lord of glory come in. Realize that, yes, you can be a part of the family of God forever. He made you on purpose. He was there the day you were born. He'll be there the day you die. And all along the way, He's been wanting you just to lift up that little hand. Realize that you need Him because you're a sinner. And feel the power of His amazing grace in your life. If you've never done it, do it today, would you please? Would you trust Him? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You may not have another chance. But make no mistake, God loves you. And He's reaching out right now. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I trust You. What Jesus Christ did on the cross for me, I trust Him as my Savior. Do it before it's too late. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for amazing grace. Thank You, Lord, that You've given us all this capacity to believe. I pray if somebody is here, like the woman at the well with a broken heart, that they would reach up that little hand. I pray if somebody's up in a tree like Zacchaeus, feeling the anger and fury of the world and hatred, I pray that they would come down and place themselves in the hands of a loving God. I pray, Father, that You'd be with us as we go forth from this place to share the message of Your amazing grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good day. God bless you. Thank you for coming.